Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. You can find the details for this show and all of the archives at mulliganstew.ca. You'll find the podcast, Mulligan Stew. You'll find Mulligan Stew Radio, and you'll find Tasting Room Radio. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for subscribing on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts. The Kiwis are in town. That's the show this week. I'll give you the names in just a moment. We also visited the final event of BC Cider Week at the Pipe Shop, foot of Lonsdale in North Vancouver, a couple of weeks ago. It was fantastic, as always, and we'll have that special for you shortly. Also visited Bloom in Victoria and Top Drop Victoria. All right, the Kiwis. This is our coverage of the New Zealand wine tour called Pure Discovery 2019. With the help of Kia Ora, the New Zealand High Commission, in partnership with New Zealand wine growers and the wonderful Christine Wilkinson, here's the discovery part of this journey. New Zealand, we know for Sauv Blanc worldwide. This year, with this tour, they would like to celebrate the success of their famous white through sub-regional expressions, as well as to showcase the better-known varieties such as Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Syrah, and Rosé. New Zealand is far more than just one region and one varietal. And that is what we hope to discover. Here's who we talked to. Simon Tonacliffe from Whitehaven. Wayne Ledbetter from Teawanga. A quick chat with Mike West from HQ Wine and Spirits. Hamish McRae from Forest New Zealand Wine and The Doctors. Rory Crawford from Love Block. Joel Watson, the winemaker from Luna. And from the gigantic Pernod Ricard winemakers, Jim Robertson, their global wine ambassador. It's Tasting Room Radio, Down Under with the Kiwis. Enjoy. Cheers. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Hatch Wines. In lieu of a message, I'll just read their last couple of tweets. Gobsmacked rosé is what springtime in the Okanagan tastes like. At Hatch Wines has just become an event core member, and we couldn't be more excited. If you like wine, good food, and a beautiful spot, this is your place. Hashtag the Hatch. And finally, New Hobos and More, a spring sensuality starter pack. All the details at hatchwines.com and at hatchwines. The tour is called Pure Discovery 2019. We're in Vancouver. It's May the 2nd. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and we have a gaggle of Kiwi winemakers, wine people at tables. We're doing a speed dating kind of thing, which I think everybody can agree with. We understand what speed dating is. From Whitehaven, Wines of Marlborough, New Zealand, Simon Tonacliffe, the general manager, has joined me. He's my first. Have you done speed dating? I mean, in real life?
Not in real life. Yeah. Happily married.
From your point of view, New Zealand's relationship to Canada, Canadian wine fans, and North America in general.
Well, I think, I mean, Canada's been an really important part of the New Zealand wine story, and the growth has been phenomenal. I mean, Canadians have really embraced the Sauvignon Blanc story, North Americans as well. It's been a fantastic journey in the last few years.
Were we a hard sell?
No, I think once we originally got started, I think, and people tasted the wines, they really appreciated, particularly the Sauvignon Blanc. They really enjoyed it. It matched some of the cuisine and the lifestyle and so forth. And so there were some brilliant placements, and that's really has built the foundation for New Zealand wine.
And frankly, you may have brought other wines in those early days, but it was Sauv Blanc that everybody was talking about. Now that that first wave has come, now we start talking about the secondary wine. Well, I call them secondary wines, but in fact, you're very proud of them with Pinot Noir right in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, you mentioned at the top of the talk about the pure discovery, and that's what this tour is about, is it opening the consumer and the trade to the other wines that New Zealand is very proud of and makes it a very high level. So I know today we're going to taste a couple of different wines that you may not have tasted before. And while Sauvignon Blanc still is the mainstay of the New Zealand story and still continues to be successful and still attracting new consumers, there are some other wines out there that I think people would find really, really interesting and really enjoyable and world-class too.
When you talk about New Zealand and the rest of the world, we could see the sales team coming. We could see the push that was going on and getting everybody to talk about it. Long after you went back, we were still talking about what the stories that you had. Is there a new direction in your marketing? Is there a new selling of New Zealand wines?
No, I don't think there's really a new Sally. You know, I think it's reaffirming just the core strength of, again, that Sauvignon Blanc story, but adding to that story, so expanding it and letting, you know, the likes of the rosés that are now coming through, the Pinot Gris. I mean, we make some fantastic Chardonnays. We probably just don't make enough of them, and so therefore it's difficult to export to some markets. But Pinot Noir, I mean, there's some wonderful Pinot Noirs being made in all regions of New Zealand. So not just Marlborough, where I'm from, but central and around Hawke's Bay. So I'm not sure that it's a new push, but I think it's just continued education of that there's more to offer and there's more to come.
Also, there is a byproduct of that, and that the rest of the regions of the world are looking at New Zealand going, how did they pull this off half a world away? How did they sell to us from the other side of the planet, and we're right next door to the markets that we want? What is it that they're doing? Was there a key to that?
I think that it's about the product. And that comes back to how we, as a country, position ourselves, how we farm, how we manage, our story, freshness, the delivery of the wines. So I think that all stems back to that, and we just keep building on that story.
From Whitehaven, Wines of Marlborough, New Zealand, Simon Tonicliffe, the general manager. Tell them about Whitehaven.
Okay, so Whitehaven was founded 25 years ago this year, actually. So we're one of the earliest sort of producers in the Marlborough region. Again, you've got to give it the context. New Zealand is still a young country in terms of winemaking. So 25 years is a great milestone. Founded by a dream of Greg and Sue White, who threw in their corporate lives, decided to go sailing around the Pacific for 2 or 3 years. Actually sailed into the Marlborough Sounds, if people know the top of the South Island, is where Marlborough is based. They helped some friends establish a vineyard there. They fell in love with the area, and they dropped anchor on their boat, and hence the name Whitehaven was developed. White being the surname, Haven being a safe place where you anchor your and moor your boat in a storm. So they fell in love with the region. Greg, being quite an entrepreneurial person, decided to he could see the opportunity rather than planting vineyards. He established a winery facility and was able to process in the early days those people who were producing wine but had nowhere to make it.
It was a crush pad.
Yeah, to start with. And then from there, it's developed. 25 years on, we now have our own facility. We have roughly 200 hectares of our own land, plus another 300 hectares that we source from as well. So we've built and we've now established ourselves as a pretty good size business in that area.
What's total production?
Total production is 600,000 9-litre cases equivalent, yeah.
So, yeah. You really did grow up.
We did grow up. We started off with 4,000 cases of Riesling was the very first production back in 1994. So not even Sauvignon Blanc, it was Riesling.
And now what is the largest production?
Largest production by far is Sauvignon Blanc.
How's the Pinot Noir doing?
Pinot Noir's doing well, yeah. We have it in this market. We export 98% of what we produce, so we are an export-focused company. And the Pinot Noir we export to other markets like Japan and Hong Kong and Taiwan and places like that, and Canada, of course.
What did you bring to pour today?
So I brought you three wines to try, which is part of the discovery. One being the Whitehaven 2017 Pinot Gris, also the Whitehaven Pinot Noir Rosé 2018, and our current release in this market is the Whitehaven Pinot Noir 2015, which we had dinner with last night, which was superb.
Did you bring your price points with you?
We did. That's why I brought Lindsay with me, to bring her price points with me. But I've got a pretty good idea on the price points on stuff. We're still working on where the rosé could sit, because it's a more premium rosé, because we make it 100% from Pinot Noir. So it's, yeah.
Define premium.
To premium for me, it's not necessarily just about price, but it's about the way it's produced. So we grow this as a Pinot Noir grape, solely for rosé, and we treat it that way.
All right, let's see how much training you got through. How much is the Pinot Gris?
Pinot Gris, at the moment, $18.99, which is about the same price as our Sauvignon Blanc that we have marked.
The rosé?
The rosé, I think, will come in a couple of dollars higher than that. It'd be about $20.
That's not bad.
It's not too bad, I think so, yeah.
And the Pinot Noir?
Pinot Noir is at $24.99.
He is the general manager of Whitehaven in Marlborough, Simon Tonicliffe. We're going to taste these wines in just a moment. Now, we do, I mean, all wine regions do a Pinot Gris, and Rosé, of course, is yep. on the bloom. It's big time. And your Pinot Noir. Of those three, which would you like us to Where would you like us to start first, the Pinot Gris?
Yeah, I think we'll start with the Pinot Gris. I think that's probably the sensible sort of choice. Yeah. We'll go there, we'll do a little bit of rosé, and then we'll finish with the Pinot Noir.
I know, you know, I love the Pinot Gris, and I love the Pinot Noir. You know that. It's the rosé that I'm particularly interested in, simply because, just like everywhere else, it's exploded here. And when you're looking at 50 different shades of pink, and it's in the bottle, and you haven't tasted it, you're just looking at it, you trust what Whitehaven is going to present to us. Was there long and hard talk about what color it was, what the composition was?
Yeah, there was. And I think in the early days, we were still trying to work that out ourselves. And over time, the winemakers have managed to work out the style that they like. For us, it's about the time of the skin contact. So they've actually reduced the amount of the skin contact to sort of 2 to 3 hours. So you can still get the flavor, because we want all the flavor from that Pinot Noir, but we don't necessarily want all the depth of color. So it's minimal sort of skin contact, and you get that lovely sort of salmon pink sort of color in the bottle. So we've been improving it over the last few years.
Very cool. And here's the thing, I'm very deadly serious about this. When you see Whitehaven, you know you're in great wine territory. There are no duds with this company. It's as simple as that. They have a very high quality standard. Let's taste, but I'm going to ask the question I always ask, and that is, are there any surprises coming that will be released later on in the year that we haven't touched on?
The only surprises in this market are probably that we're doing a little half-size little bottle. Hopefully we'll get the Pinot Rosé into this market. And then maybe down the track, we're actually undertaking a sparkling bubbles program.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. So it's done in the traditional method, so it's taking us 3 years to make it. So that'll be a little bit further down the track, and Canada would be a fantastic market to launch it.
He is the general manager of Whitehaven in Marlborough, Simon Tonnicliffe. Okay, I love the Pinot Gris. That's beautiful. It's round. It's full.
Well, with the Pinot Gris, it's grown around the estate. We hand pick it. It's very close to the main Wairau River, so we have very gravelly sort of stony soils where we are. So it's a perfect environment for developing those flavors. We have obviously nice warm summers, so it's the ideal sort of conditions. And what we do with the Pinot Gris is that we keep it on lees, and we stir it for a while to develop some of that sort of more creamy, roundy sort of textures to it. So it's a perfect wine to accompany many dishes. So it's a good food wine.
Well, and I hope you do well with your rosé. Like, in other words, that people pay attention to it.
I hope so too. I think there's a real excitement about the rosé category. I think people are now experiencing that there are different types of rosés in the market, and sometimes when you trade up into a rosé, you can get a different experience, and that's what we find with it being 100% Pinot Noir.
You know, the best thing about rosé is that you get to taste around. You know, you get to try everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need to.
You need to. It's research.
Absolutely.
The Pinot Noir is simply fabulous.
Pinot Noir is one of my favorites. We had that at dinner here last night. It went down very well. It's a 2015 that's currently in the market here. It's, again, comes from four different sites. It's hand-picked, French oak, all those good things that you should expect with Pinot Noir, but it's got depth, body, flavor. You get the nice fruit flavors, but you're also getting that oaky, savory notes coming through.
From Whitehaven, Wines of Marlborough, New Zealand, Simon Tonnicliffe, the general manager. Okay, Simon, you're not on a couple of things here. It's not on the table, but the Sauv Blanc is in the market as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Sauv Blanc. We have our main white label, Sauvignon Blanc, is most widely distributed. There are a couple of stores that have our reserve single vineyard Awatere style Sauvignon Blanc. I think Everything Wine here in BC does that.
And is Alberta, because Alberta is reasonable and you can actually talk to them and get wine, and they know what they're doing, are there other wines there?
No, not at this stage. That's one of the things about the Pure Discovery that we're trying to introduce is into some other markets or some other wines.
Last question, sustainability.
Yeah, very important. It's a big part of what we do in our winery. It's, you know, we take that picture that we're just looking after the land, but it's also sustainability means looking after the land for the future, but also making sure we're a sustainable business, we're environmentally friendly with our packaging and our waste and all those sorts of things. So sustainability, absolutely a really important part of what our story is.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Tim.
From Whitehaven. the start of our New Zealand tasting today, Wines of Marlborough, New Zealand, Whitehaven. Simon Tonycliffe is the general manager, and we tried the Pinot Gris. We tried this fantastic Pinot Noir Rosé and the Pinot Noir itself. If you see Whitehaven on a shelf, where you go. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Hatch Wines. In lieu of a message, I'll just read their last couple of tweets. Gobsmacked rosé is what springtime in the Okanagan tastes like. At Hatch Wines has just become an event core member, and we couldn't be more excited. If you like wine, good food, and a beautiful spot, this is your place. Hashtag the Hatch. And finally, New Hobos and More, a spring sensuality starter pack. All the details at hatchwines.com and at Hatch Wines. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Just a reminder that tomorrow, May 26th, it's the Big Day Out Party and the Big Day Out Winemaker's Dinner, and lots of fun, including live music. And Chef Martin has created a fabulous four-course Regions of France-inspired menu to complement their new wine releases. All of the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. This is Pure Discovery 2019 in Vancouver. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and we are tasting around. It's speed tasting with a room full of Kiwis pouring for us in Vancouver at Ancora. We come to Wayne Ledbetter, Vice President of Sales, but it's up to Wayne to give us the correct pronunciation of this winery so that we can learn as we go.
It's Teowonga.
Tell us about the name, because we want to get familiar with it.
There's two beliefs on it's from Te Reo Māori in New Zealand, and the beliefs are that there's two meanings for it. It could be where the rivers meet, that's one meaning, and the other is the flax mat that's used for meetings, important meetings. So we're not sure which of it is, but it is a settlement where our flagship vineyard is.
How old is that vineyard?
That vineyard is 25 years old. It's been there, it was Kim Crawford before moving on to a group of local professionals before we took it on as part of our portfolio of vineyards.
So originally planted by Kim?
I couldn't guarantee that because it's before my time. It's too long ago, but I think that's correct. I believe that's one of his first vineyards.
So this is a handshake?
It is, yeah. We haven't arrived, so we're about to start, we hope, with the help of Delph Wines, who are with me today.
What do you want to start? Where do you want to start? What's your first handshake?
Okay, our first wine we're going to start with is one that we launched 1 year ago in USA. It's called Wildflower. It's a Hawke's Bay Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blanc, as you know, from New Zealand, is generally thought to be Marlborough, but Hawke's Bay does some very fine Sauvignon Blancs.
But Hawke's Bay keeps talking about Chardonnay. We're the Chardonnay capital of New Zealand. But Sauv Blanc has a place there, obviously.
Sauv Blanc definitely has a place. This is from inland, from our inland vineyard, Maraikākahu, and that has a bit of elevation, and it's towards the mountains, and it brings in a lot of the lime citrus flavours.
Is that elevation helping with the heat units?
Yes, it is. It gives you more diurnal variation day to night.
Did you have any drought problems?
This year, no. This year we had a lot of early rain, and it made flowering difficult, but then we had a nice steady mid-season and harvest.
So this Wildflower, Sauv Blanc, Hawke's Bay 2017, I know that there's Wild Song in behind it, which is organic Pinot Noir, right?
That's right.
And I know also know that New Zealand prides itself, in fact, that like 74-75% of the farming being done is organic. Is that number going up?
I don't know if it's that high, but it is certainly going up. Our Maraikākahu vineyard is our largest. It's about 32 hectares, and it is now 100% biogrow organic certified, but that's only as of 1 year ago, so it is a new thing for us.
Let's talk and then we'll taste. Tell me about the other white you have over there.
Okay, so we have also from our base vineyard, where our cellar door is, from Teowonga, we have the Loom. So we have the Teowonga brand, which represents the by the beach on the Pacific vineyard, and then this is the reserve. So in the good years, and the Loom means the best wave of the day, it's on the beach. Surfers argue about which was that and who caught it. But
the Loom?
Yeah, the Loom. It's a term it's a surfing term for the best wave of the day. So if you're in the right place at the right time and you can pick it, you might ride it.
That was talk about the effect of lakes and rivers on vineyards. What about that ocean?
Pacific Ocean means that we get a nice sea breeze in the afternoon, and it's a more moderate temperature and less variation. So we get good afternoon winds, and it just seems to be ideal for Chardonnays. A lot of Hawke's Bay great Chardonnays come from Teowonga.
There's also conversations about whether people can actually taste, smell salt.
Yeah, and that's people believe they can. I can't.
Nah.
Yeah, thank you.
But the mind plays tricks.
It does. I think that's it. Yeah, and it's the sense that people like to convey.
We're talking to Wayne Ledbetter, Vice President of Sales at Tawanga Wines, Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. What's that beautiful one at the end?
This is Mister. This is a range which is more of an adventure. He's a little adventurer, and that could be from any one of our four vineyards. It's generally a blend, and Rod, our winemaker, who really is the essence of what Tawanga is our winemaker, Rod McDonald, will incorporate a bit of a sense of adventure with these wines. So it clearly has a Tawanga crest on it, but it's slightly different in that it's from a blend of vineyards, and it's he'll do something interesting.
And your fourth bottle on the table is Wild Song Organic Pinot Noir.
Yeah, so that's from Maraikako, as I said. That's been organic for a year, and it's going really well. There are four varietals in it. There's the Pinot Noir, we've got a Sauvignon Blanc, a Pinot Gris, and a Syrah. From Hawke's Bay, you've got to have a Syrah.
Because this is a handshake with British Columbia and Canada, for that matter, what do we need to know about the winery and its belief in what their wines are?
Again, it comes back to the Hawke's Bay terroir, and it's trying to express that in terms of very down-to-earth. It's called No Bullshit Wine, and it is a relaxed lifestyle, enjoyable without pressure.
We're tasting Hawke's Bay with Wayne Ledbetter, the Vice President of Sales at Tawanga. Are we going to find more of your wines in Alberta?
I hope so. We haven't got an initiative there yet. We're pretty new. We're starting with Toronto and Vancouver, and we've got to get to Alberta.
Well, I'm talking to the Alberta audience now, and I'm telling you now, Tawanga. Go looking for the loom. I can't wait to try that shard. Do we know our price points?
Yes, we have. We'll talk about Wildflower. That's $22.99 at retail. And then if we go to the Wild Song, the organic, that's $26.99 for the Pinot Noir.
Right.
And then if we move on to the Reserve Chardonnay,
Shard.
The Loom, that's $30.99.
Right.
And then the other one we have is the Mr. Syrah, which is $29.99.
Can I say that's quite reasonable?
Yeah, I think it is.
Compared to some of the prices that I'm seeing on the shelf.
Right, yeah. No, we're trying to make it approachable.
Is there a bubble program?
Well, the other thing that I haven't mentioned today, and we generally don't look at it for export, is Rod, being a winemaker extraordinaire, he likes a sense of adventure. So we've got a brand called One Off, and every year there's going to be a couple of wines come out on that One Off brand, a couple of new wines, and they may never be done again. When they're drunk, they're gone. Things like Stickies, and he's just finished a sparkling wine. It's 2013-14 vintage, and he's had the base and matured it. It's got to where he wants to go, and he was bringing that out as a one-off, and he likes it so much, and he's backed it up in later years that we're probably going to release that as either a Mr. or a Tawanga wine and make it an every year event. So we've got one coming. It's going to be bottled in June next month.
Is it inevitable that everything coming from the winery is going to be organic at some point?
We hope so. I mean, some of them are harder. It seems harder in Tawanga than Maraikako. We've started, so we're in transition, but we hope. Because, again, it's part of the philosophy of good wine tastes like where it came from, and so it's unlikely that we're going to stick with conventional farming.
Okay, I just tasted the while you were talking.
You were quick.
If you keep talking, I can keep tasting. No, the Wildflower Sauv Blanc, Hawke's Bay, 2017. What was the price point again?
That is $22.99.
Okay, you've just found your summer wine right here. Wildflower Sauv Blanc, Hawke's Bay, 2017. We're talking to Wayne Ledbetter at Tawanga Wines, Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. Are there any other wines coming or that you're creating that you would like to see in the market that we can watch for?
Well, we brought along today also, not for tasting here, but brought along for tasting with the trade this afternoon, the Tawanga Syrah. And Syrah is, I guess, like Chardonnay, people bang on about it from Hawke's Bay, but it really is something special. It's a cool climate wine, and the Quarter Acre, which is the white tablecloth wine that we make in our range, one of our brands, that won the best red in the world at the International Wine Chase in London.
Thank you.
So in 2017. So that won the trophy. So it is recognised as a great Syrah area. So definitely that'll be along for the tasting today as well.
Wayne, tell me about the price point on the Loom, the Chardonnay.
The Loom is our reserve Tawanga Chardonnay. So it's a state-grown wine from Tawanga, and the price is $30.99 at retail.
There's a lot going on in there. It's a great nose on it.
Thanks. Yeah, it is. It's not overpowered by the oak. It's got good fruit flavour coming through. So you've got certainly got the new oak there, but also we've got beautiful fruits coming through.
What kind of oak are you using?
French oak. So new French oak.
New French?
Yeah. There's a mixture of aged and new.
It's important that I get this part right. Teawanga. T-E. New word. A-W-A-N-G-A. And here's the thing about this speed tasting. When they're done, they pick up their bottles and they move on. We're tasting Hawke's Bay with Wayne Ledbetter at Teawanga in Hawke's Bay.
This segment of Tasting Rim Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Just a reminder that tomorrow, May 26th, it's the Big Day Out Party and the Big Day Out Winemaker's Dinner. And lots of fun, including live music. And Chef Martin has created a fabulous four-course Regions of France-inspired menu to complement their new wine releases. All of the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, voted Canada's number one winery. Today at Road 13, it's a recovery barbecue. You can have a relaxed evening at the winery where guests can enjoy food, wine, and a sensational sunset. Tickets available at road13.com. And welcome back to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is our coverage of the New Zealand wine tour called Pure Discovery 2019. With the help of Kia Ora, the New Zealand High Commission in partnership with New Zealand wine growers, and the wonderful Christine Wilkinson, here's the discovery part of this journey. New Zealand we know for Sauv Blanc worldwide. This year, with this tour, they would like to celebrate the success of their famous white through sub-regional expressions, as well as to showcase the better-known varieties such as Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Syrah, and Rosé. New Zealand is far more than just one region and one varietal, and that is what we hope to discover.
I met Ginny Miniacci, the brand manager from Corby. But first, she is doing security for Jim Robertson, the manager, Global Wine Ambassador in New Zealand Brands, Pernod Ricard winemakers, and we're talking about Stoneleigh, although Brancott is in here as well. But hello, Jim.
Terry, it's good to be back in town.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Kev, for coming back. It kind of falls on you, and I'll give you extra time for your wines, but it does fall on you to give us an overview of New Zealand wines 2019. How are things back home, and how are they in the world?
Well, you know, starting at home, where I don't spend a lot of time, by the way, things are really good. 2018 was a tough vintage. We had a couple of rather naughty cyclones that visited the country. So as winemakers, we really had to work hard to get the fruit in and in prime condition before it was there. 2019, probably a lighter vintage, but quality-wise, exceptional. And we're very happy with what is going to be coming up to BC in the next 18 months.
Did you have any drought conditions?
You know, like the rest of the world, we are seeing the effects of climate change. And one of the big issues in New Zealand, particularly Marlborough, is the availability of water for irrigation when it's needed and when it's required. And this year, the local council had some very, very strict rationing regimes put in place.
And how about New Zealand here in Canada and around the world?
Globally, the New Zealand category is doing very well. Yeah. Doing very well. Canada, closer to home, we're now up to about 1.4 million cases shipping into the country, which is fantastic. More importantly, you know, the wine lovers of Canada have elevated the market to the fourth largest destination for New Zealand wine.
Yay, we're number four. We're number four.
And closing in rapidly on number three, I hasten to add. So that's really exciting.
In that number three position, do we know?
I can't tell you.
Okay, fine. You have to shoot me. Okay, never mind.
No, I mean,
we're drinking as much as we can, Jim.
Yeah.
Jim Robertson, Pernod Ricard winemakers. He's a global wine ambassador and the manager, New Zealand Brands. What did you bring to pour today from Stoneleigh?
I'll tell you what I've brought today is Stoneleigh Latitude. You know, Stoneleigh as a brand has a lot of good friends here in British Columbia. And we think that everybody has got Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc. And what we wanted to do was to introduce Stoneleigh, but another variant of it. What we have here is Stoneleigh's classic, which is in the market now, bigger brother, if I can use that expression. So it comes from a single appellation as opposed to being a Marlborough blend. It comes from the what we call the Golden Mile, which has the highest concentration of what we call sunstones, but basically river stones.
Where exactly is the Golden Mile?
It's in the northern part of the Marlborough region, Wairau Valley. It's the site of the old riverbed. And the beauty about it is that in the summertime, these stones warm up. Mm-hmm. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you couldn't hold a stone in your hand for more than about 30 seconds.
What about at nighttime?
Nighttime, they radiate the heat back up into the fruit zone.
Right.
And so we get these lovely tropical characters coming through from it because it is, you know, the warmest sub-region. So lots of passion fruit, lots of pink grapefruit, a little bit of white peach nectarine, a bit of guava.
Jim Robertson, Pernod Ricard winemakers. He's a global wine ambassador and the manager, New Zealand brands. So Jim has brought the Stoneleigh Marlborough New Zealand Latitude Sauv Blanc 2018. But I noticed, there it is, way on the bottom, from the vineyards of the Golden Mile. More and more we'll see that name show up.
Yes, absolutely. This is developing quite a following. The difference between this and a lot of the Marlborough Sauvignon Blancs is that we've kicked it up a notch. So what we're looking for is not oak flavors or aromas, but more texture, more weight, and more complexity.
Shouldn't we just taste and not talk?
I never thought you'd ask.
Here's the thing about putting your nose in this glass of Stoneleigh Latitude. It's everything you ever wanted to smell at 10:30 in the morning. It's absolutely fantastic. What's the price point?
It's right about $21. The wine lover in British Columbia is not going to be disappointed about its availability.
You could run for politics with an attitude. Okay. All right. So it's the Stoneleigh Latitude is in stores now?
Absolutely. Yes, you and I can walk down to the store and pick a bottle up for lunch.
And the Stoneleigh, tell me about the Wild Valley over there, that rosé.
You weren't supposed to see that. The Wild Valley is a really interesting proposition for us. You know, New Zealand is perceived very much like Canada is clean and fresh and you know, we have a respect for our environment and nature. What we want to do, again, to take people on the Stoneleigh journey, we've developed a range called Wild Valley. Now, the Sauvignon Blanc, the Pinot Gris, the Chardonnay, the Rosé, which we have here, and also the Pinot Noir, are all fermented using wild yeast that exists within the vineyard where the grapes are grown. So that's the proposition. The whole range is that. This particular product, you know, rosé is on fire around the world. Our rosé, and I'm talking New Zealand, but also ourselves, is 100% Pinot Noir. And so that's our point of difference. From a New Zealand perspective, if you're going to have a rosé, it's 99% of the time going to be a Pinot Noir rosé. A Pinot Noir is our number one red grape variety in New Zealand. We're a cool climate. About 70% of all the red wine that we produce in New Zealand is Pinot Noir.
So you might as well.
So we might as well. Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
Jim Robertson, he's a global wine ambassador and the manager, New Zealand brands, Pernod Ricard winemakers.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's not bad.
What a food wine.
And the beauty of this wine here is that it is made in the vineyard. And by that I mean that our winemakers actually designate specific blocks within the vineyard specifically for rosé. And so that gives us that freshness, that crispness, that vibrancy that a good rosé should have.
All right, because this is radio, I'll describe very briefly. This is the Stoneleigh Wild Valley, Wild Fermented Rosé 2018. Not available yet, but if it were, what do you think the price point would be on it? Roughly, just give a ballpark.
I'd say 17 to 19.
Get out of here.
Somewhere like that.
Are you single? Never mind. Okay, that's fantastic. Absolutely. Well, it's a speed dating. That's fantastic. Wild Valley.
You would be the fourth person in Canada to have tried this wine.
Wow.
It literally came off the airplane with me.
Next year, number three, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, anything else that you want to surprise us with?
Can you tell us what they might be?
Well, obviously, I'm going to be pouring two different interpretations, two different styles of Sauvignon Blanc. I've got two Pinots. I've got a sparkling Sauvignon Blanc that I'm pouring.
Okay.
Which is really yummy. Really yummy.
Jim Robertson is with me. Jim, remind me what I'm tasting.
So what you're tasting here is the Stoneleigh Sparkling Sauvignon Blanc. Smells like a Sauvignon, tastes like a Sauvignon, with some frisky little bubbles in there as well. This is available globally. We're in the process of talking to the market here about it.
Price point?
So we're probably looking at about 18.
Jim Robertson, Pernod Ricard winemakers. He's a global wine ambassador and the manager of New Zealand Brands. Let me tell you how many air miles this man spends. When they board the plane, two people come and physically pick him up and place him in his seat. That's how special he has become in the world of flying and the world of wine. Thank you, Jim.
Jerry, you're very generous. I wish it was the truth.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate
it. Take care.
Good seeing you.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
Joel Watson, an actual Kiwi winemaker. Luna Estate, we are single vineyard Pinot Noir specialists. We also create cool climate Chardonnays, Syrahs, Pinot Gris, Riesling, Sauv Blanc, and Rosé made from Pinot Meunier. You are a Pinot house first, and then you work out from there?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, a bit about Martinborough. It's 1% of New Zealand's crush annually. It's a tiny region. I noticed in Canada you're well represented with Marlborough wines, which makes some sense. It's the biggest region in New Zealand. They pump out Sauvignon Blanc. We don't do that in Martinborough. We got a little bit, but, I mean, primarily we're Pinot Noir. And we started Pinot Noir in New Zealand in the 70s in Martinborough. It's the pioneering region. We've got our own clone. And so we've got some vine age now.
Did you give a number to that clone?
It's called Clone Abel. It came from Romani Conti in the 70s. It was smuggled in someone's gumboot.
In someone's gumboot.
No,
That's the story we hear here.
It was pulled out of Romani Conti by a guy, and it was confiscated at the border by a guy called Malcolm Abel. Okay, this is the 70s in New Zealand. So Malcolm Abel was not just a customs guy, but he was also a farmer and a viticulturist.
Ah.
And so he was getting into viticulture, and he knew what these cuttings were. And so he asked the guy, he was like, "Where did you get them?" And the guy told him, he confessed. So he said, "I'm taking these cuttings off you." So he didn't destroy them. He took them and he planted them. and planted them in Martinborough. And that's Martinborough's own clone. And so we've been at it for a good while now. And we farm mature vines, by and large, from a New Zealand point of view.
Define mature.
This was planted in 86, this block, the Blue Rock Vineyard.
Right.
Yep. And the Eclipse Vineyard was planted in 93. So, I mean, I use only the original plantings of both vineyards for the single vineyard wines. Yep. And then I got my entry-level estate wine, and that's from vines that are sort of 10 to 20 years old.
Right.
So these are all plus 20 years to 30 years.
Joel Watson, the winemaker at Luna. There are three Pinots in front of me from Luna. Blue Rock Pinot Noir 2016. There's the Eclipse Pinot Noir 2016. And then there's the Luna Pinot Noir 2016. Distinctive one from the other.
Yeah. Regionality is important. Of course, but in Martinborough now, because we've been at it for a little while, we're at a point now where we're starting to see distinction between blocks and areas within Martinborough.
Of course.
So these vineyards couldn't be any more different in terms of their geology, and that's what's under the vineyard. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. Okay, forget about what's on top of the vineyard and the gloss and the prettiness. It's the dirt we're talking about. All right. This one here, the Blue Rock Vineyard. All right. This is on a north-facing hillside, and it's clay and limestone. This is an old seabed. So this was pushed out of the ground by an earthquake millions of years ago. I find marine fossils all through this vineyard. It's calcareous, it's lime and clay, okay? This vineyard here, this is on an old
river. This is Eclipse?
Yep, Eclipse Vineyard. This is a river terrace, okay? So we're in a valley. This is on the hillside. This is on the flats of the valley. But this is an old river course. So as the river's moved over years, and New Zealand is completely formed by rivers, moving, flooding, changing course, okay? Yeah. And they form these alluvial fans. Yep. So it's river rocks, and then the river moves, and then there's rocks behind, and then the wind blows soil on top of those rocks. And we've got about a foot of topsoil, and then we've got 30 meters of rocks. And I mean rocks, boulders. giant boulders.
But okay? You want those boulders.
That's what you want. You're not going to grow apples or pears or peaches on this soil. No good for that because there's no nutrition in those rocks.
And the Luna?
Luna is a blend of both vineyards.
Okay.
And it's the younger vines off these vineyards. So planting began at Blue Rock in 1986.
Joel Watson, the winemaker at Luna. Luna Estate Pinot Noir Martinborough is $26.95. The Blue Rock Vineyard Pinot Noir Martinborough is $50, and the Eclipse Vineyard Pinot Noir Martinborough is $50. Let's taste.
Let's do it.
We're going to taste these three Pinots. Yeah. Is there an order that you want to pour them in, and why is that order?
I would do the obviously estate wine first. It's the entry level wine. It's fruit forward, plush, easier drinking, just straightforward, and a good representation of what Martin was about.
All right, if you're looking at labels, friends, it has Luna in big letters right on the front. Okay, we've moved on to the Eclipse. Was that the Blue Rock? This is the Blue Rock.
This is all about subtlety and expressing this old vineyard. So it was planted in 86, clay and limestone. There's no additions in this wine, so nothing is added. I don't fine or filter the wine.
Are you blending fields?
Nope, this is a single block. Yep.
One single?
Yeah, one single block planted in 86.
Any dry farming?
It is dry farmed. It is organically farmed.
Good on you.
Yep.
Sustainable.
Most vineyards in New Zealand are sustainable. Yep. So we have a program in New Zealand, Sustainable Wine Grower in New Zealand. And so we all sign on to that. And then some of us go a little bit deeper.
Joel Watson, the winemaker at Luna. Watch for these wines. We're tasting the Blue Rock Pinot Noir 2017. It's yummy. Okay.
And next up we have the Eclipse Pinot Noir. Important. The winemaking is the same. It's identical.
But?
The site's different. That's the only difference.
Okay.
So clay and limestone soil for the Blue Rock Pinot Noir. And this is the old riverbed. So this is the rocks.
Now I know why you're a Pinot House.
Yeah. Pinot Noir is a grape that's singularly responsible for, I believe, some of the more delicious and interesting wines in the world. You know, there's nowhere to hide in Pinot Noir.
The Pinot that we're tasting in Canada.
Yeah.
Is it truly representative of New Zealand Pinot Noir?
Disappointingly, what I've seen so far in this country is not. I think you're in the early stages of learning about New Zealand Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
So I think what you're bringing at the moment is the stuff that's from bigger producers, made in a very homogenous, commercially friendly style, I suppose. I hope that Canada will start to explore New Zealand Pinot Noir a bit more because there's a lot to discover.
A lot.
You know, we've been doing it a while now for the new world. So, no, I don't think you're seeing the best of New Zealand Pinot Noir yet, not even close.
Thank you for your craft. Thank you for your art.
Hey, man, thank you very much.
He is Joel Watson, the winemaker at Luna. Watch for these wines.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, voted Canada's number one winery. Today at Road 13, it's a recovery barbecue. You can have a relaxed evening at the winery where guests can enjoy food, wine, and a sensational sunset. Tickets available at road13.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Their highly anticipated White Merlot 2018 has finally come to the tasting room and to their website this weekend. If you're in the Okanagan, stop by to snag some bottles. Make this the summer you try the Bench 1775 White Merlot. Bench1775.com.
You know how serious the Love Block team is when Mike West is riding shotgun and doing security. You know that you better be on your A game. Rory Crawford is representing Love Block Vintners. I had Erica's, your mom's name, written down. How's your mom?
She's good. Currently doing some postgraduate study in viticulture, and she's just got a little assignment due.
Did you take the same course?
I did a diploma in winemaking and grape growing.
Was there any way you were ever going to get out of this career? Did you want to be like a miner, a surfer, a pilot?
I've always been involved in the wine.
Well, it was family.
Yeah. I was working every, in retail through to in our vineyards and wineries. I've never known any other work. It's always been wine.
It's always been wine. Think about that. Think about how cool that is. And that you get to do what you want to do.
Oh, absolutely.
How old are you now?
Just turned 25 in January.
What are your friends drinking back home?
My friends drink rum and coke.
Oh, man. Nothing changes.
No, not really. I try to, get them to try things, but no. So.
They're not interested.
No, they're safe in their ways.
Do they know that the rest of the world is drinking and seeking New Zealand wine?
Just quite happy with rum and coke. Much to my attempts to change their mind, but no.
Oh, that's so disappointing. It's so cool. It's so New Zealand. This is Pure Discovery 2019 in Vancouver. I'm Terry David Mulligan. It's speed tasting with a room full of Kiwis pouring for us in Vancouver. Rory Crawford is representing Lubbock Vintners. What did you bring to pour today?
So we brought our 2014 Pinot Gris, which is what we'll start with, and our 17 Sauv Blanc, and our 2018 Pinot Noir, which is quite fresh off the bottling line, which would be interesting to try.
Did you introduce a sparkling wine when you took over?
No. We did have a sparkling Moscato made in sort of a Method style. And fortunately, we don't do that wine anymore. But
we got thrown out?
We needed the vines. We had them top grafted over because we're struggling to meet demand for our Pinot Gris.
I meant to ask you, Rory, how big is the portfolio? We only have the three wines here, but...
So, in the Canadian and American market, we can only bring in these three. Our other ones are our Riesling and our Gewürztraminer. They're quite small in quantity, and I love them, but Riesling's just a hard sell, especially.
You're the third person sitting down. I haven't seen a blend go by. It's all single varietal.
There is a bit of Riesling in the Pinot Gris, I believe 13%. That's just to lend it some acidity in there, a little bit of some vibrancy. Really delicate.
Hmm. By the way, these blank spaces are when we're swilling and smelling.
Yes.
Spitting. That's gorgeous.
Mm. Especially with organics, we're aiming for that sort of Asian pear sort of flavor profile as opposed to sort of the leaner flavors that you can get from Pinot Gris. And we're achieving that through sort of just... somehow through the organic grape growing process, we're getting that at a lower sugar level, so we're getting really nice, elegant wines.
I'm gonna break the fourth wall here, and I'm gonna ask Mike a question because we drink and we are fans of BC wines. You know how much we grow a Pinot Gris, and you know how much it changes with each growing location. But this is completely different from anything that we've tasted on BC.
Absolutely, and that's kind of the point of why we are bringing in these wines. For me, it is still unmistakably New Zealand in this bottle. It's got the tropical flavors the BC Pinot Gris drinkers enjoy. It's got that amazing texture again, but it's just vibrant and fresh with all of these just peachy Asian pear notes, as Rory's been saying. And it's just magical to taste that it's the same but different. And, of course, ties in with wines that we make ourselves in the organics and the sustainable aspect too.
Thank you, Michael. What's the price point on the Lubbock Pinot Gris?
$26.99.
And it's available now?
Yes.
All right, so I love that. That's a good starting point. What's that second one in behind?
So we've got our 2017 Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc here. A more elegant and evolved style of Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc. Something, it's trying to push it a little bit as opposed to what people are tending to expect.
For one thing, it's a gorgeous finish.
Yeah, we're aiming for those lovely tropical fruit flavors, good lingering acidity, and that's, I think, it's definitely that. Our wines do tend to be a bit higher in acid, and that's what gives it that beautiful length.
Rory Crawford is representing Lubbock Vintners. What do I know about Lubbock? What do I know about what's in this bottle? This is a very expressive bottle.
Mm. So this comes from our two vineyards in the Awatere Valley in Marlborough.
They've got their roots down, they're happy?
Yep, they're doing really well, thriving on the stonier soils.
Have you had any drought problems?
No, we don't have many water issues there. We have reasonably good water storage as well. Water stress is important, but so is vine health.
The price point is?
$27.49.
$27.49, says the team. All right, let's get to that third one.
All right.
I love that, by the way. It is exactly what I wanted and even more. All right, let's have a look at this. Lubbock, 2018 Pinot Noir.
So bottled quite recently, and I think it's actually showing quite well despite its youth.
Remove yourself from just being the winemaker at Lubbock and just talk about what we expect. What do you think we expect from New Zealand Pinot Noir?
Well, New Zealand Pinot Noir, especially those from Central Otago, have had the reputation of being just fruit bombs and sort of lacking a bit of complexity. So we're aiming for something a little lighter, maybe a little more evolved once again in our winemaking, while maintaining the true expression of the site. Bright, fresh fruit up front.
Am I crazy? Can I use? I'm thinking, what I smell on the nose? is almost like a French mustard. There's something in there.
There is something.
Excuse me. I apologize if I misread your wines. It goes back to my childhood, by the way.
Yeah. This actually does. I think about it. It was a few weeks ago I had this cassis mustard, and it's definitely coming straight to the nose on that.
What's the hot dog mustard that we hated for baseball games?
Frank's?
No, there's somebody else. Anyway, there's a bit of that. I'm sorry. I love this. French's. This is fantastic.
French's
mustard. Yeah, man. Do we know the price point on the Pinot Noir?
$40.
Are these all available in British Columbia?
Yes, yeah.
Is there anything coming that you haven't poured for us today that we can watch for?
We are playing with... So last year we made a sulfur-free Sauvignon Blanc. Okay. Using a little trickery, we've found that a green tea extract is an excellent substitute for those that are intolerant to sulfur. And it actually lends itself quite well to the wine. It's a beautiful, once again, sort of... imagine the tropical flavors in that Sauvignon, but elevated a little more.
Two quick questions. Organics, first of all, are you heading to organics? Are you?
We have two organic blocks in Marlborough with one in conversion. Almost ready to initiate the organic conversion on our Central Otago vineyard.
And sustainability?
Sustainability is very important to us.
There's a logo on the back of the Love Block that says...
sustainable. We're working on organics for that block, yeah.
Good luck with your winemaking career.
Oh, thank you.
Hello to your mother.
I'll pass it on to her.
Thanks, mate. And your mates? Your rum and coke guys?
Oh, they need to stop the rum and coke.
They got to stop that right now. Stop that right now. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Rory. Thank you, buddy.
Nice meeting
you. Rory Crawford, Lubbock Vintners.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
They're calling this Pure Discovery 2019. It's just an excuse to drink Kiwi wine, to taste and spit and meet some winemakers. I have sitting beside me Hamish McRae from Forest New Zealand Wine. Hamish, welcome. Tell them about Forest, where it is and who they are.
So Forest is a family winery out of Marlborough, 30 years old, and started in 1988. We have the Forest brand that we're launching in the BC, and also the Doctor's brand, which is quite an exciting brand, which is lower in alcohol, naturally produced.
The name The Doctor sort of stood out. It was a really good branding idea. I realize it was a personal story, but just tell me about how they came up with the name The Doctors.
Yeah, so The Doctors, yeah, it's quite an exciting brand. It's John and Bridget. Their background is, they're formerly in the medical scene and a doctor. And they dropped that and started with wine in 1988. And hence the name, The Doctors, with John and Bridget. It's Albert Einstein on the bike on the front, which is quite intriguing. And our whole brand is about thinking differently. And you can see the man on the bike, he's riding the wrong way. So it's all about being different and quirky with our brand.
Here's the thing, we have four bottles in front of us. You've got The Doctors and Forest, The Doctors and Forest. Is Forest the second brand or is The Doctors the second brand?
I guess you'd call Doctors the second brand. We only launched that one 10 years ago. It's all wines are under 10% in alcohol,
yep.
Naturally produced, which is one of the key points for us out of New Zealand. And we've actually recently just done the first ever lower alcohol Pinot Noir in the world at 9.5%.
What did you have to give up in terms of taste and nose?
Look, the big thing is we think we've actually... we've got a Pinot Noir that represents, the typical characters out of Marlborough. Wouldn't say it's been easy. We had about 3 years of trials where we didn't release.
Tough sell.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting, I think, because people are curious, being Pinot Noir, being 9.5%, but there's a market now. There's millennials thinking about what they drink and not drinking as much and worried about their health. And, we sort of think the Doctor's brand sort of fits that bill.
I happen to know in my family a couple of New Zealand millennials. What are they drinking back home?
In wine, I guess one of the fastest growing varieties has been the rosé. And I think that's driven by a lot of the millennials.
Are they still drinking rum and coke?
In some dirty bars in the corner in New Zealand.
Nice dig. Yeah. Way to go, Hamish. What did you bring to pour?
So we've brought two wines out of The Doctors, so the Sauvignon Blanc and the Rosé. And then we've got the Forest Sauvignon Blanc and the Forest Pinot Noir.
All right, the Sauv Blanc, that is your handshake, isn't it?
It is. That's what pays the bills. So, and I guess the Dr. Sauvignon Blanc is 9.5% versus our traditional Forest, which is 12.5%.
What's the price point on that Dr. Sauv Blanc?
Dr. Sauv Blanc is sort of $19.99
right.
Retail, and the Forest is $21.99.
And the Doctor's Rosé?
$19.99.
And the Pinot Noir?
$29.99.
Tell me about the Forest Sauv Blanc.
The Forest Sauv Blanc, we take that from our home site in the Wairoa Valley. It's stylistically, it's quite different to the Doctor's.
Different treatment?
Yeah, slightly different treatment as well. We have a touch of oak with that as well, but not too much. But it's very clean. It's got a nice mineral sort of backbone to it. Very intense flavours. And it's just a special wine for us that, I guess, that's where it started, the Forest Sauvignon Blanc.
And then we go to the Doctor's Rosé, Pinot Noir?
It's actually quite interesting. It's Pinot Noir and Arnaise. No one does that in New Zealand, so John decided that would be quite a nice blend 3 years ago. So it's about 70% Pinot Noir, 30% Arnaise. Obviously, people love the colour, but it's light. It's quite a dry finish, and but it's still got the right fruit out of Marlborough. It's quite an exciting wine.
And what does a Pinot Noir from Forest and from New Zealand have to do? What bases does it have to touch in order to qualify?
I guess Pinot Noir out of Marlborough, I think reputation is growing and growing. It's, our Forest Pinot Noir is taken from southern valleys. It's typically got lovely sort of dark raspberry and cherry notes. But I guess Marlborough Pinot is still very elegant, even though you've got nice sort of those ripe fruits out of Marlborough, and I guess typical of New Zealand, it's still very elegant and quite different style to what we've got down in Central Otago, which is a little bigger and bolder and more intense.
He is Hamish McCray. He is the sales and marketing manager for Forest New Zealand Wine and for the Doctors, representing the Doctors. What's next for the Doctors? Any new releases?
We've just released the first ever lower alcohol Pinot Noir under 10% in the world.
And sustainable?
Yeah, 100% sustainable New Zealand wine growers, yeah.
Tell me about the one more thing. It says, in front of you, it says generations of Forest. Where's the next generation?
Yeah, so Beth Forrest, which is John and Bridget's daughter, she's been a winemaker with us for the family for the last sort of 4 years, and now she's, as John and Bridget are slowly passing over the reins, she is, our general manager now, and it's just great to have, that second generation coming through.
What's your website?
Forest.co.nz.
And the Forest, by the way, is Forrest. Thank you so much, and have yourself a great time in the rest of this country.
Yeah, thank you very much. Great talk.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Their highly anticipated White Merlot 2018 has finally come to the tasting room and to their website this weekend. If you're in the Okanagan, stop by to snag some bottles. Make this the summer you try the Bench 1775 White Merlot. Bench1775.com.